everybody hear me? I normally don't need a microphone. You say, big old mouth I got. But good morning.
Good morning.
Man, is it good to be here, or is it good to be here?
It is great.
It is good to be here.
It's great.
And before we get one inch further into this, I want us to put our hands together and thank this group in Arizona for having us out here. This is the most like family that you can get, I think, and be here with these people at this time. It's just awesome. And I'm glad they opted to have a conference this fall, and I'm certainly appreciative, of course, of the invitation for Lori to come out here so that, you know, if I could come with her. So, you know, we're a package deal from now on. Anytime you invite her, I'm going to be there. So you may as well just get used to it. I want to give you guys all a welcome from our group in South Carolina. They all wish they could be here, but, you know, the way it goes, for whatever reason. One thing or another, they could not. But I do want to pass that on to you from them, because I know they feel as I do. And they know and understand the love that we have for you folks here. So wanted to get that out there up front. And hello to all the Pow Talkers. It's good to have you guys with us this morning. I think we have, what, about 10 on? This is one of those things that Barney got going that, and I'll admit it right up front, when Barney started this, I'm like, boy, that's a good idea, but I'm not really sure this is going to work. And here's what, 3 years later, my life is built around it. And that's just the way it works. We have to get these studies in because there's a need out there for the Word. There's always going to be a need for the Word. And I'm appreciative to him for getting it started. But he'll say what I'm going to say now. It wasn't of him. It was of the Lord. All things happen according to God's plan and God's purpose. So didn't want to bring that up. We are also recording these. I'll have videos and audios. So if you want to go back and hear one later on, you can always log on to our website. I don't have it up here, but it's I can write it. If my board don't pause, www.carolinabiblegroup.org. So, if there's another study that you want to hear or go back and listen to again, there it is. You can log on there, and there's tabs. Be on the audios tabs, and probably very shortly after I get back and get these tapes over to, or recordings over to Chip, we'll have some videos up there if you'd rather see a video. So I did want to mention that before I got started. And also, glad to have some of the South Carolina contingent came with us. We got Tony and Candy with us. You guys heard Tony earlier. And by the way, all you speakers that have spoke, I sit here recording these things with my jaw on the table at some of the things I hear. Tony came out of left field with his the other night, and I'd seen both, but I'd never put them together in the context that Tony put them together in. And then, you know, it's just Barney's with his study on the way that we worship. It's very important. These things that are coming up here, you need to know them. You're not here for an accident. You're not here by accident. You're here by divine purpose. You may think you just wandered in here, or you may think you came here of your own will, but you didn't. I'm here to tell you. I've seen too many amazing things come and go to think that this is all just happened. It just doesn't work that way. And then Mikey, I hope I got my armor on this morning, because that was awesome study. And I see why you needed two to do that. I'm really surprised you were able to get it in just two. But awesome job. And all you other guys, I'm not going to take up a lot of time to go back through each one, though. We can go back and listen to the recordings. But I do want you to know how they bless me, how they inspire me to keep going and to keep growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. That's why we're here. So, before we go any further, Bow with me, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your grace and love and mercy. Father, that you give to us in such abundance that we don't even realize we're giving. God, thank you. Thank you for this conference, for these that have took their time and talents and effort to put it together. Thank you for each and every one that's come this way, both that are here and that are joining us on Pound Talk. Father, bless the words that we say. Please let my study today be all of you and none of me. And may your word be put forth as you would have it done. First in Christ's name today that we do humbly pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. A little study. You ready? Everybody ready? All right. You might have noticed that as we stand up here as speakers at this conference, that we go all over the Scripture, many places. But there's one central theme, or one central method, I should say, that we all use. And that's the key, I believe, to understanding the Scripture, which is right division. Without right division, I will promise you, you are going to have some difficulty understanding this book. How many of you have all the questions about the Scriptures answered in your own mind? Show of hands. I'll get a drink of water while I'm waiting on you. I see you're in the same boat. I'm in. That's good. See, that puts us all on the same playing field. I don't have all the answers either, but I got a book that's got all the answers. And by using the method of right division, we can get some of these answers. Now, having said that, one of the most important keys of right division, see, we went from the big one, now we're going to go down a step. One of the keys of right division is the realization that God's Word gives us benchmarks or points to measure from for our understanding. Did you know that? Did you know that the word uses benchmark? Everybody know what a benchmark is? I think it's an old surveying term. The benchmark was the master peg that they would put down so that they could begin with the transit to shoot the line or to pull the cord or however it was that it's been done down through the ages. But a benchmark is like a, if you've ever been to Stone Mountain, they've got a big brass one there laid in that rock. And it doesn't move. It's like concreted in place. And it's got a little tiny point in it. And they set up on that with a laser and they can measure in different distances and different angles. And that's called a benchmark. Did you know the Scripture has benchmarks in it? I'm going to show you a couple and then I'm going to show you a biggie. I'm going to show you two right now. One, I believe, is the Exodus. It's one of the benchmarks that the Scripture uses. You guys have to keep an eye on my time. Now, before I do that, though, everybody know what this is? This is my new tape measure.
Ooh.
Hey, I like that. I made a special trip to Walmart last night, and they say the measure of a good tape measure is how far you can let it out and hold itself up. So this one passes pretty good. My trusty and beautiful assistant, Lori. The address will be at the Oconee Hospital in case you don't get in touch with me after this. Lori is going to take my brand new trusty tape measure and she's going to measure to the back wall for me. Measure to the back wall.
Well, where am I supposed to start?
Did you hear her question?
Yeah.
Say it again.
Where am I supposed to start?
Where do you start from?
Right.
Any measurement of anything has to start at a point. You get the point of the tape? You can't measure anything unless you've got an origin point. That's what the benchmark means. That's what it is. It's a beginning, an origin, a point to measure from. Good job. We didn't rehearse that a bit, did we? Isn't she a good assistant?
Yeah.
She's a good assistant. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. I want to We'll show you how the benchmark of the Exodus comes into play.
Is that chapter 1?
Yeah. 1 Kings, chapter 6, verse 1. And I cheated. I'm already there. So I'm kind of standing here waiting on you guys looking at me. I hear the pages rustle. Now, there's nothing better than hearing the Bible pages rustle. I love it. I love it. And if you're still turning there, 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1 says this, "And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt." What is that? That's the Exodus. 480 years after the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Zif, or May, okay? In the month of May, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. So, what do we know? What do we know from that? From the Exodus, children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, to the time that Solomon began to build the temple was how many years? 480 years. We measured from one point to another point in the Scripture, didn't we? And we know it's perfect because God gave us the number, didn't he?
Yes.
There's no questioning the number. The number's perfect, 480 years. That's the Exodus. Now, there's another one that's not quite so obvious, but we use it all the time in Right Division. You're going to hear it over and over and over and over again. Oh, is that a post-Acts 28:28 book, or is that a pre-Acts 28:28 book? You'll hear us do that a lot. And there's a reason for that. Turn with me, 28th chapter of the book of Acts, if you haven't guessed already. Acts 28:28, very pivotal. If you don't have this underlined or highlighted or something in your Bible, you need to. If you're going to understand Right Division, you've got to get this. This is like Right Division 101 right here. Point where we start. Remember the story. Paul goes to Rome. They give him a day. The leadership of Israel, those who were in charge of their religious leadership, gave Paul a day. And it says he preached Christ to them. We'll get to this point in Acts, but we ain't got there yet. He preached Christ to them from morning till evening out of the law and the prophets, which always amazes me. And he had them all together there, and what does it say? Let's read verse 24. It says that some believed the things which were spoken, but what's the rest of the story? Some didn't believe. So some believed the things that were spoken, some believed not. And when they had agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, "Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear and not understand, and seeing ye shall not see and not perceive." Did you know Christ had used this same quote before when he was telling the children of Israel why he spoke in parables? There's a reason that a writer in the Scripture uses or quotes Isaiah 6, and it's not good. It means that I've run out of patience with you. Your time is done. Let's read on. Because you remember, during the book of Acts, it was to the Jew first and then to the Gentile as they were grafted in. We're studying this right now on Sunday mornings. We're up to like Acts 20, I think. Or 19. Yeah, thank you, Dorothy. Dorothy knows more about my study than I do.
I don't think so.
No, I think so. Saying, in 26, Paul says this, and it's a quote. It's Isaiah 6, 9 and 10, if you want to go look it up. He says, "Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear and not understand, and seeing ye shall not see and not perceive." What is he saying? You're seeing, but you don't see. You hear, but you don't hear. You perceive, but you don't perceive. You're not getting it, is what we would say. Look, you're not getting it. And he spent all day with them. All day, day and night.
3 days.
He says, "For the heart of this people," yeah, exactly, Tony, thank you. "For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their eyes are dull hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them, be it known. Because of what I just said, be it known therefore. Therefore, because of what I've just said. Do you get it?
Yes.
Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation, the soterion of God, is sent to the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Well, wait a minute. Wouldn't the Gentiles be engrafted in all along? Sure they were. But this is different.
Hallelujah.
The clock for Israel right here, folks. God unplugs the clock for Israel, and for over 2,000 years, for Israel, time has stopped. God is not counting time with Israel today, whether you realize it or not now. That's a good point, but it's not the point I'm driving at. Let me get back to my tape measure. There is another point I'm driving at. There is yet another benchmark in the scripture that I don't want us to miss. Is that level?
Yep, we're close.
Reading with it?
Yeah.
Well, that'll give you time to
think. Where's your level?
They didn't build one into my handy dandy tape measure, so I guess I'll just have to deal with that. Now, let's see. This one is a bit more easy to see, because this is scripture a lot. This one's easy to see. Anybody ever heard the term the foundation of the world?
Yeah.
Should have. If you study the scripture, you've seen it several times. I promise you. Now, whether you go right on over it or stop and smell the roses, you know, that's kind of up to you. Well, it's going to be a fact. Mike, do you mind going up standing holding this for a while?
That's a new benchmark.
About 40. No. This one is a little easier than Acts 28:28 to see. Because it's poorly translated. It's pretty poorly translated from the Greek to the English in the King James text. And that causes a lot of our issues. A lot of our issues are caused because of the translation that we have. And I'm not kicking the King James Bible. I love it. I've got one. I study out of it. I love it. But you've got to realize that it's not perfect as far as translating from Koine Greek over to English. It's just not perfect. So, we have to go back and put the words in the correct, do the best job we can using the concordance, lexicon, to straighten out the text. The English word, and here's the problem. The English word foundation is rendered from two different Greek words. See, the English translators, they did this a lot. You got two different Greek words, and they turned it into one English word. Foundation. So when you look at your Bible and you see foundation, you don't know without a dictionary if you're looking at familion or if you're looking at katabole. And my pronunciations are probably terrible, but they'll suffice for what we're going to do today. Mikey can correct you later if you got a 50. He'll work you into the Greek class if you have a 50. Now, let's go over for just a minute the two words, because one we're going to just take a quick look at so that you get the meaning. The other one we're going to dig down into. And guess which one we're going to dig down into? Katabole. We're going to talk about familion very briefly. Then we're going to get into katabole. So I want you to understand, this is one of the most pivotal measuring points that the scripture uses in my mind. Because it has some very important things to show you if you understand what you're looking at. Now, the noun familios, and it's a noun for the word foundation. The word familios occurs, and you might want to write these down. If you don't, you can go back and listen to the tape later, because there are several of them. The noun familios in the noun form occurs in Luke 6, verses 48 and 49, Luke 14:29, Acts 16:26, Romans 15:20, 1 Corinthians 3:10. Am I talking faster than you can run?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, that's a little bit.
What was the last one?
1 Corinthians 3, 10, 11, and 12, actually.
Acts 20.
I'm sorry, yeah, it was Ephesians 2, 20.
Okay.
What was the last one?
No, hold on. Did you get Acts 16, 26?
Yes.
Then Romans 15, 20.
Okay.
Everybody up in Romans 15, 20?
Right.
Then 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10, 11, and 12. Then Ephesians 2, 20.
Did you do the Luke
1
again?
The first one. Oh, the first one. First was Luke 6. First was Luke 6, 48 and 49.
Okay,
6. Yeah, Luke 6, 48, 49. All right, everybody with me?
Yeah.
Ephesians 2, 20.
Yeah. Romans 15, 20.
Right.
And Corinthians, I guess.
Yeah. They have 1 Timothy 6, 19.
1 Timothy?
Mm-hmm. 1 Timothy 6, 19.
Okay.
2 Timothy 2, 19. Hebrews 6, 1, that we're going to take a look at. Hebrews 11, 10. And Revelation 21, verse 14. And twice in verse 19 of Revelation 21. Now, what does it mean, Ron? What does all that mean? Let me tell you. Anybody know what a foundation is for a building? You ever went by and you seen where the tractors are out there scraping around and see all the dirt out of the way and you got a big ditch dug, and they come in there and they pour all this concrete in there and they put some steel rebar and stuff in it. Barney knows all about this. Everybody's ever built a house knows all about this. You gotta have a good foundation, right? That's exactly what this word means. It means that which is placed or laid as a foundation to be built upon. That's exactly what this word means. And it's very correctly rendered foundation, I believe. The melios is pretty accurately rendered, I believe. The melios, yeah, is a pretty accurate rendering for that. And in case you're wondering, I'm not too hot on Strong's definitions for these words because I don't think the guys that did the Strong's really understood what they meant. And I'll prove that as we go along. But in case you're interested, it's Strong's number 2310. That's a good way to do a search. You don't want to narrow them all down. Strong's number 2310. Now, while you're doing that, turn with me over to Luke. Well, I got to move because we got a lot to get into. I'm going to drag you guys through this pretty quickly. Turn with me to Luke 6. Luke chapter 6. We'll give you a good example of familios. Luke 6:48-49. Let's actually go up to 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. This is what the Lord is saying. He says, if a guy comes to me and heareth my sayings and he does my sayings, here's what this guy is like. He's like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the familios, laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream bent vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. See, even the scripture says you got to have a good foundation. You're not going to get anywhere with a poor foundation. Then he goes on to say, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell in the ruin of that house was great. Perfect example of familion in the scripture. You can't get no better than that. Let's hold off on Hebrews 6:1. We'll just do one on familion. Don't take my word for it. You go and look at all those other scriptures I gave you and make sure that the usage is what Ronnie said it was. If it's not, then, you know, I don't know. We could arm wrestle or something. We'll arm wrestle for it. That's what Mike always wants to do, and then he loses. He gets real upset. Okay, now, let's go to the one we're going to spend a little time with. And that's Katabole. I know I didn't say it right. The pronunciation is probably not too great. too is in a noun form. It's a noun. It occurs in. Are you ready? Everybody gets writing pencils. Ready to go. I want to give you all the scripture because that's where the rubber meets the road. The scripture is what's important. The scriptures are Matthew 13:35. And in Matthew 25:34. Luke 11:50. John 17:24. Ephesians 1:4. Hebrews 4:3. Hebrews 9:26. Hebrews 11:11. 1 Peter 1:20. Revelation 13:8. And Revelation 17:8. Now, what does this word mean? Remember, if you look at your English Bible, what do you get? You get foundation. Is that what it means? No. Not the way I see it. Doesn't make sense. Shouldn't render two different Greek words or Greek forms, Mikey. And I appreciate that, what you had to say about that yesterday. Shouldn't render two Greek forms of one English word. I don't know why they did it, but they did. The meaning of the word katabole means to cast or to throw down. You see the significance. If you've ever stood and watched a stonemason, a lot of times they'll slap a concrete down and they'll throw a block. Now, I see how they could get it. But the connotation of katabole is not putting down to build something up. It's walking up to something that's already built and knocking it down. I better broke my good tape, too. But you see the difference. There's a difference in building something up and knocking something down, casting something down.
Yeah.
That's what you've got with this word.
Big difference.
There's a big difference in it. Let's look at it. And the proper meaning for katabole, reasonably, is to cast down or to overthrow. And in case you're wondering, this is Strong's number 2602. And again, the Strong's definition for this word in there is pretty poor. I urge you to get a better concordance, Greek lexicon, than the Strong's gives you. Not that it's a bad check, but I'd say get another one. And always have at least 2 to 3 reference books to see how they jive up with each other. Now, interestingly, the corresponding verb, katabolo, you know, this is katabole, that's the noun. There's a verb that's akin to this word that has the same root. Katabolo is the verb. And it occurs in 1 Corinthians 4:9. So let's turn over there for just a minute before we get into the noun. Let's look at the verb form of this word. 1 Corinthians.
2 Corinthians.
Is it 2 Corinthians? Okay, I may be off. You're right, I'm sorry. It is 2 Corinthians. Thank you. Y'all keep me straight.
Is that 4:9?
That's why I love this crowd. If you mess up, somebody will fix your wagon. Okay, let's read. You'll get cast down if you mess up here. Let's read 7-9 of 2 Corinthians 4, okay? And Paul says this, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Katabolo, but not destroyed." We're cast down, thrown down, but we're not destroyed. You see that? So the proper meaning for katabole, reasonably, is to cast down, to overthrow, to ruin, or to disrupt. That's the meaning, I believe, that should be associated with this word. It doesn't mean a building up like the other one does. And we're going to look at one verse that's got both words in it. Interestingly enough, there's one verse that does. So, let's go, and let's look at that verse now. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 6. Turn with me over there right quickly. And I promise you, I'll have you guys out of here no later than 5 o'clock. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Now, this word contains both forms, although, again, they are very poorly rendered. It's, Paul says, therefore, leaving the principles, or having left the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not katabalo, again, the foundation, thamelion, of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. You see what he's saying? You got both of these words crammed right there in one verse together. So we can do a little comparison side by side. The Holy Spirit's wonderful the way it works. Paul says, not laying again or katabalo, not casting down or tearing down the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. You see what he's saying there? He's saying there's been a foundation laid. We got to move on in what we know in the Scripture. There's already been a foundation laid. We don't have to tear that down. We can leave that just like it is. But let's move on to perfection, he says. That's why we're here. I'm not going to stand here and preach the baptism of repentance to you that John preached. It's outdated, folks. It's out of date. That's where right division comes in. I would not be doing the Word of God justice if I stood here and preached something that's dispensationally incorrect. I'm not going to do it. Not unless somebody changes my understanding of what I understand. So you see what Paul says. He says, we don't have to tear this down. It was good for its place and its purpose, but we got to move on to perfection. We can build on that and move on to perfection. You see what he's saying right there in Hebrews 6. I love that. The remarkable thing about katabole that I've seen, and incidentally, this noun, katabole, it occurs 11 times. Now, you might know anything about numbers in Scripture. I love Mr. Bullinger. Appendix 10 in the back of your Bible. If you got a companion Bible. Numbers in Scripture is important. We're going to see a few of them now. Anybody knows what number 11 means? It's disorder, chaos, ruin. Is that just a chance happening? Because that's what we got here with the earth. It's what happened to the earth. Let's get into this. It's the remarkable thing about this word is that in 10 out of the 11 occurrences, the word is connected with the world. The katabole of the cosmos, of the world. The casting down, the ruin, the disruption of the world. Well, when did that happen? Did somebody tear the world up and then tell me about this? It happened before, way. And the Lord uses it as a benchmark, believe it or not. He does. Let's get into this a little bit. Now, 10 out of the 11 occurrences are connected with the world. If you see that word foundation, it will be foundation of the world. 10 out of 11 of them. The word is connected with the world and therefore should be rendered the disruption or ruin of the world. Turn with me to Genesis 1:1. Now some of you have already heard this. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. If you have, bear with me. If you haven't, lend me your ears for just a second.
Well, maybe I need to hear it again.
Yeah, it never hurts to hear it again, does it? Oh, that's why I love coming to these conferences. Not only do I hear stuff new, I hear stuff that I've heard before and it still gets me charged up. Genesis 1:1, everybody knows it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, full stop. That is a statement of fact. I know the way the punctuation works in your Scripture is a little different, But that's a full stop right there. And it's an immutable fact. Either you believe it or you don't. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You either believe it or you don't. He created them perfect. Isaiah 45:18. They were created to be inhabited, and they were by people? No. By an angelic host that God created along with the rest of creation when He created the earth in the beginning. Now this has nothing to do with the 7 days of Genesis. Nothing. Whatsoever. This is a totally separate creation time. This is the time when God literally laid the foundations of the earth. And it was created a perfect gem or a jewel, as I've shown here, I believe. And I've got the scripture to go with it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, pristine, to be inhabited. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Doesn't make sense, does it? It disagrees with Isaiah 45:18 if you leave it that way. The correct rendering for the verb was there is more like became. Like Lot's wife looked back when she wasn't supposed to, and she became a pillar of salt. She wasn't a pillar of salt to start with. She was a woman. She could have held the other end of the tape measure. I am in trouble now. Oh. What I'm trying to show you is that there was a point in purpose. Time doesn't exist yet. So it's nothing to do with time. It's a point in purpose where something overcame the earth. And it became tuhu vabuhu in the Hebrew. Without form and void. It was overflowed with water and it perished. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Maybe you've seen this before, maybe you haven't. Peter says this, 2 Peter 3. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Peter says, remember, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That's the way it is today. Everybody's so complacent with the way everything is. Oh, where's this coming at? He ain't coming. We've got complacent. We don't expect anything. The world thinks that it's all that there is. They've turned their back on God. I'm not going to preach, but that gets you. Because verse 5 is true. For this they willingly are ignorant of, just like we are. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water, katakaluzo, perished. You see what it says? The world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, since the restoration of Genesis, the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved under fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And then he goes on to say, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And he goes on to talk about some of the days that are important. What I wanted you to see there is the cataclysm. Whereas the world that then was, the world that was inhabited by the created angelic order of God for His purposes, of which the shining one was the prime minister, took the worship of the angels to the throne room of God and entered in. Walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire, it says. And he took the will of God, I believe, back to those angels. Satan himself. He was full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Everybody remembers Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. Until what happened? Iniquity was found in thee. And by reason of thy own brightness, he was corrupted. Because he wanted to be like the Most High. Read Isaiah 14. Look at the five I wills that Satan utters there. He tells God, look, I don't care what you made me to do. Here's what I want to do. Amen. Doesn't work that way with God. Does not work that way with God. Ezekiel 28 gives the story. God lays out his indictment. Therefore, I will cast thee, Ezekiel 28, it says. We don't have time to give all the scriptures. Look them up. Don't take my word for them. Look them up. He says, therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. And it was done. The Lord in Luke says, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And along with it, guess what? And it stays in the water how long? I have no idea. I know that you guys have some beautiful landscape in Arizona that quite likely was carved by the time that the earth spent in that water. When time didn't even exist. Now you want to know the beautiful part that's going on. I'm not done. Here's my point of this whole thing. That this event forms a great dividing line in the dispensations of the ages. Did you know that? That event forms a great dividing line in the dispensations of the ages for the way that God describes and uses it in the Scripture. Let's look at some of them. This is confirmed by another awesome fact. I lost my place on my notes here. Remember we talked about those 10 occurrences of the disruption of the world for the catabole? 10 times that it's used in context with the world. Out of those 10 times, here's some more numbers for you. Let's see. 7 of them are associated with the preposition apo. The Greek preposition apo. 7 of them. What does apo mean? Apo, which means from. These refer, I believe, to the kingdom and the counsels of God. Let's read a couple of them. Let's see. So, from, you know, if we're standing on our side, you know, you got the earth in ruin here. 7 days restoration in Genesis. 2,000 years later, here's where we are. I'm way over here off my chart. But this side is always from. Apo. Everybody see that? If you're going away from the catabole, it's from or since the foundation of the world. Let's read a couple. Turn with me to Matthew 13:35. Let's talk about the Thessalon. And I'm going to be done here in just a minute. Matthew 13:35. Let's go to 34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. Remember we talked about that? He spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable spoke he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled. Oh, that was fulfilled in Scripture. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Things that have been kept secret from this line forward. I'm going to utter. They were kept secret, but now I'm going to tell them. You see that? Apo, from. Okay, let's look at another one. Luke 11:50. Let's look at Luke 11:50. Let's start at 49. Therefore, also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. That the blood of all the prophets, remember what Mikey said about them killing all the prophets yesterday? That the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. All the prophets that were slain from the foundation of the world. Pretty easy when you see where the divider line is, isn't it? Now, there are seven of those that use apo, the preposition which means from. Out of the 10 occurrences of the foundation of the world, seven of them, 7 out of 10, refer to apo and are from. The other three are not. The other three are different. And I brought you all this way to get you right here. So if you've been sleeping on me, you better listen to these last three. It's just like watching a NASCAR race. Sometimes, you know, you can go along and you sleep through the first part of it. Boy, you better see them last 10 laps. Because that's where the fun's going to be. What's what we got here? Don't miss this. Turn with me to John 17:24. I think Tony was in this one. The high priestly prayer, I like to call it. John 17. Before we read that, let's read John 17:5. This verse tears me up. Christ praying to the Father. He says, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the cosmos was. He had glory with the Father before the cosmos even was. Before even this was. That's way over here. You see where we are on the scale? That's way over here when it was just God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's before we even get to this point. Let's read 22-24. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. And in them, I in them, verse 23, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. 24 is the verse. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So, we can put before on this side, and you've got pro. This is a great word, pro, the great word, apo. Thou lovest me before that point. You see what he does? God gives us another huge benchmark in the scripture to measure from. Christ said, they lovest because thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Two more verses and I'm done. Look at 1 Peter 1:20. 1 Peter 1:20. I know I'm running out of time. Let's read 18, 19, and 20 to get the meaning. For as much as we know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation, before the overthrow, before the ruin of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. He says Christ was foreordained to die. Literally, he was dead before he ever made the scene. In the council chambers of God, between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, Christ gave up his life. That blows my mind. Before he even got here. Unreal. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Jim, we're going to end in Ephesians. I know you're listening. Ephesians chapter 1. I want to get where I can see. I'm going to read 1 through 4. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before. Before that point, before the catabole, even as God probably was discussing with his son how that he should die and lay down his life. You were there. And I was there.
Amen.
Is that something?
Yes.
Is that something?
Yep.
I'm done. I've enjoyed being here. I love this place and I love these people. I love you guys. And I hope you continue in your studies. Don't take anything I've said as the gospel truth. Study to show yourself approved. And take that Berean spirit and look at it like the Bereans did.
Yes.
Search it verse by verse by verse, because then and only there will you find your faith. But remember, we got scriptures full of benchmarks. And God will help you understand it if you will just look at the signs and see where the benchmark takes you. It's that simple. Bow with me. Father, thank you for this time, for these people. God, thank you for this word, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, for his blood. Thank you for all things that we have in him. Thank you for those that are here, what they mean to us. Father, we ask that you would be with each and every one as we travel. Be with us as we continue to uplift your word, try to bring it forth to a world that seemingly does not want to see it. Father, thank you so much for those times when they do. Thank you for each and every one that's come this way, for those that took their time and talents to put this together for the glorification and the edification of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his name today we do humbly pray. Amen. And thank you, folks.